This is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. And Cyclone Tools, built to last a lifetime, only available at Bunnings. One of the great DIYers himself is Ashley Brown, the chief football writer for the AFL record.
Is he as good as you?
There is very few people that can swing a hammer like Ash Brown. In fact, I believe he's as good on his left as he is on his right. He joins us on the line. Can you confirm this, Ash?
Hello, that might be a different Ashley Brown. I'm no good on the tools, boys.
What's your favourite tool?
Keyboard's about it for me.
What's your favourite tool, and what's the greatest DIY project you've attempted and successfully completed?
Favourite tool? I'm okay with the hammer and screwing and unscrewing things. But that's about where it goes for me.
A hammer.
Any more complicated, I hit the phones.
Trying to unscrew something with a hammer, that is dexterous, without question. I reckon you'd be good with a Stanley knife, cutting out pieces of journalism that you don't like and some that you actually do like. You've got some big names on the front cover of the AFL record this week. Now, the issue here, given you've got two greats in Selwood and Ablett, have you taken the easy way out and split the front of the cover, or have you taken the brave decision and elevated one over the other?
We've gone the very equal cover. They're standing alongside each other, or sort of poses from, yep, from games alongside each other. So I think they're equal in the eyes of the Geelong fans. So it wouldn't be for us to make a distinction between them.
Would they be equal, do you think, Scoop? Or do you think they'd elevate Selwood, given that he has been there from go to woe?
Jeez, it's a great question. I think they'd have to be treated as equal. Even though subconsciously, I think you're right, Selwood, given that he's been there from the start, would be magnified potentially slightly more?
I think so. That would be my spin on it. But obviously, Gary has got his place as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, player the game has seen, and therefore the club has seen, despite the fact that he, 5 or 6 years away.
Is he the greatest modern-day player you've seen?
The greatest modern day.
You know, since you stopped playing and, started analysing footy, would he be the best you've seen?
Give me 5 minutes to have a think about it. But clearly, he would be in the top three.
Yep. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the state of the game and the coverage of it, Ashley?
Well, it's been an interesting few days, hasn't it? With the fixture reshuffle sort of yesterday, and
yep,
a fascinating story that's evolved every few minutes as we tried to put the pieces together. We were on deadline for the record yesterday, so we were anxiously trying to work out as well. We had to recast big parts of the magazine to accommodate new games and new time slots and new matchups. But we got there. But it was to see everyone trying to work out, okay, if Queensland are doing this, then what's it going to mean to the fixture? And if New South Wales follows suit, does that happen as well? So it's a challenging few hours for everybody, and I think the AFL's come out of it as well, but pretty well. But the new normal now is that the fixture is going to be determined, you know, the week of. It's going to be like an invitational tennis tournament. You rock up on the almost rock up on the day to find out who you're playing.
I tell you what, all of this has done, Ash, it's made the online medium of what we do so much more vital. Because, and you'd be the same, Jared, you're always on your phone and on your computer at home reading stuff. It's changing by the hour. I was writing a story last night before we went to air for The Age, and deadline this time is about 7 o'clock.
Yep.
By the time that people pick up the paper the next morning in their cafe that they're getting at 6:30, so I have a chance that everything in the story is obsolete.
Yes, you're spot on. It must be difficult when you're trying to do something that actually needs printing, Ash.
Yeah, that's right. It was a good day for online footy media yesterday because, for once, there wasn't a lot of rampant speculation that was wrong. I think people sort of just happy to let the day's events pan out. And then we got the AFL were very proactive about it as well, announced things nice and quickly, didn't let things linger for too long. But it was a bad day for printed journalists because you couldn't write your story. Sam, as you say, you wouldn't be able to write your story till late in the day because things kept changing all the time. And I think today almost has been like that as well. Again, we still don't know. I mean, the South Australians coming out and saying what they're doing with their borders now, that changes everything again. So I think round 6 and 7 fixtures aren't worth the paper they're written on.
Hey, Ash, I wanted to talk to you and Jared about a fascinating story from Tom Brown on Monday night. He not only reported it, but he also wrote it for 7.com.au. And it's about Charlie Cameron, the first line of which reads, two Victorian clubs have made inquiries on Brisbane Lions star Charlie Cameron with a forward prepared to leave if he can't agree on a new extension. Now, Charlie Cameron is someone that Jared and I have been speaking about just about every day. He's one of the informed players in the comp. And if there's one thing I know about Tom Brown, despite all the rubbish he cops on social media, is that he gets extremely good mail, and there's obviously something in this. But, Ash, I wanted to ask you about, you know, when you're writing a story like this in late June, you leave yourself open to so much other stuff changing. And he wrote in the story, Tom, that officially Carlton will indicate they haven't talked about Cameron, but two trade sources indicate they are positioning themselves if Cameron can't finalise an acceptable extension with Brisbane. Now, Jared, if Charlie Cameron in 3 months ends up re-signing with Brisbane,
yep,
everyone will say Tom Brown's story was wrong, but that's...
Well, he's got himself an inner par there that gives him an out clause. But to me,
yep,
to me, it sounds to me like it's a manager pumping up the cost and the contract.
And it could very well be that. But Ash, can I just ask you what your philosophy is on this? I was told at a very young age, you always got to ask yourself the question, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Well, I think you're looking for... What I do know from having been in the space for a long time now is any story to do with trade rates enormously. It is absolute clickbait. So if you can come up with a story, it's almost a non-story in a way, and I think there's an element of negotiation through the media to try and put pressure on the Lions. But if you're in charge of the online clicks at the Seven website, you would take the story every day of the week because you know people are going to read it. So that's what it's become now. It's a lot of interest in trade stuff. It goes off. I mean, look, Hutchie's maintained an online radio station for a month every year based on the trade period. So that's just how strong the interest is in it. So I don't blame Tom for writing the story. I don't blame Seven for publishing it because it's going to get interest in this market. If you can get eyeballs, then you might be making a quid.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I remember there's two stories that come to mind, Jared, for me in a couple of years. Mitch McGovern saying that he was going to leave Adelaide in April. You had to wear a lot of stuff for the best part of 8 months.
Yep.
And the other one, I don't regret writing because it was right at the time, but Tom Lynch was all but gone from Adelaide and was going back to the Saints.
Okay.
That didn't eventuate, and he re-signed. And
did you ever feel as if you were used by the manager or somebody else within?
No, I didn't. No. I mean, you've got to balance this stuff, Ash, with writing what you know is fact at the time and wondering, is it going to come back to bite you later in time? It's a difficult balancing act.
Well, if you're writing trade stories this far out, you're running a real chance that the story's going to end up being wrong. But I think most of the readers would understand that any trade story written this time of the year is speculation. There's a lot of time for a lot to change. So as I said, I don't really have a problem with the story being written. I mean, I take any trade story at this time of year with a grain of salt. Anyway, it is a negotiation. It is, and I think Colin Young might be better at it than some in using the media to get things happening for a client. So I don't have a major issue with any of it. Like you just take it. It's effectively, well, we're in June now, but effectively it's April of the season. So it's a long way to go.
Should Gil McLachlan have weighed into the tackling debate, prior opportunity debate? I know he was asked, but should he have weighed in or should he have said, I'll leave that to others who know more about it than I?
Well, I think at the end of the day, a rule change or even an interpretation change comes across his desk for his sign-off or his approval or his consultation. So I have no issue with him having an opinion on the game. I mean, Gil, didn't play league footy, but he's played a lot of footy and he actually understands. I think Gil has a pretty good understanding of how the game's played. He certainly has access to a lot of the data and the information and the modern thinking about how footy's played. So I'm happy for him to have an opinion on that as well. And I don't know how much clout it'll have around the AFL, but I would imagine there will be people there who listen to him.
Don't you think the umpires would feel under pressure to pay more holding the balls, even if it wasn't actually holding the ball, it was a line ball decision?
I think that's under pressure because of what Alistair Clarkson said, whether or not Gil sort of weighed in on it as well. I think what we often see in footy, if a couple of coaches raise an issue, there is a subconscious correction the following week. Mm. So I'll be fascinated to see what the ratio of tackles to free kicks is for next week, not just for Hawthorn, but for teams across the competition, based on Clarko bringing it up this week.
Yeah, it is fascinating. You and I spoke about this last night, Jared. There'll be more holding the balls paid this week.
I suspect that the umpiring fraternity would be just telling their boys, just keep on going. You might have got a couple wrong the other night, but you've probably got most of them right.
They've had a bit of mud thrown at them this week.
They have indeed.
The umpires.
Are they happy with some of the mud thrown at them?
Nah.
We talked about that earlier
in
the show.
Nah, they're livid. And I think that they have every right to be.
Yeah.
And I think this goes really deep, Jared, to the point where when you've got...
Well, the inference was they were cheating.
When you've got the host broadcaster
yeah.
on social media asking people the question, do the umpires treat one player differently?
Mm.
Like, they don't feel like... And, you know, you and I talked about this last year, and I wrote about it. The AFL umpires for some time have felt like they don't have the backing of the AFL
yep.
and Steve Hocking, and they don't have the backing of the major shareholders. And I think we leave them hanging out to dry far too often.
Well, I think they thought that they didn't have the backing of Gil McLachlan last year.
Yeah, they did.
And that's why I was surprised that, you know, Gil weighed in as strongly as he did, because essentially he was saying they got it wrong last night. Yesterday he was saying, you got it wrong.
Because you're translating that from him saying, I think they should pay the hold the ball more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Ash, Gaz and Joel Selwood on the cover this week?
Yeah, that's right. Available at all news agencies in Victoria for $5. Coles and Coles Express, and also the online edition available through the AFL website as well.
Good stuff, Ash. Ash Brown there, the chief of the AFL record. As we sign off, our Sports Day Beaumont Tiles bathroom makeover winner has been announced, and it is Jared Healy from... No, sorry, that's the wrong piece of paper. Congratulations to Victoria's winner, Georgia Athanasopoulos. Congratulations, Georgia, getting a new bathroom makeover,
well
Jared.
Well done, Georgia, and I wish it had been me because I'm just about to head to Beaumont's myself.
But you can do yours yourself.
So well, you I can't do bathrooms.
Oh,
I'm not a tiler. Tiler's a very, very complicated business.
Choose Beaumont Tiles, proudly Aussie, with 30% off Aussie-made tiles. Now, this has been Sports Day for Wilson Homes. Chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle. Jared, yes, no, Richo, tomorrow.
Yep.
You already got some planned?
No, not yet. I'm taking it one day at a time. I'll be up early and giving it my full mental attention.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks.